As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by National Realty. 30% returns on cash and rented real estate. Find them at NRIA.net. Bank of England officials keeping their key interest rate at a record low and saying uncertainty stemming from Britain's referendum on its European Union membership may delay investment decisions and curb growth. Fewer Americans in forecast filing applications for unemployment benefits last week. Initial jobless claims climbed by 7,000 to 265,000 in the week ending March 12th. U.S. stock index futures are falling after a rally yesterday sparked by a dovish Federal Reserve as Caterpillar's profit warning reminded investors of sluggish corporate earnings growth and weakness in the global economy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 4.5 points, Dow E-mini futures down 35, NASDAQ E-mini futures down 15, the DAX in Germany's down 1.7%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, the yield 1.89%, yield on the 2-year 0.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.5% or 58 cents to $39.02 a barrel. COMEX gold up 3% or $36.50 to $12.66.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1294, the yen, 111.72. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen Moscow, thank you very much. It is 848 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Barack Obama's choice for the Supreme Court is a compromise twice over. Merrick Garland is a moderate, and he's 63 years old. Republicans will regard him as a radical liberal anyway. Keep in mind, however, that they also consider Chief Justice John Roberts a liberal traitor. Republicans could face a Hillary Clinton victory in November and a Democratic majority in the next Senate, giving the new president a chance to pick a younger and more liberal justice. They also correctly believe Donald Trump would be entirely unreliable on Supreme Court nominations. But Senate Republicans care more about their own electoral consequences in 2016. What do they fear most, the possibility of losing swing voters in November, or the chance that a more diehard conservative will challenge them in their own Republican primaries? If Obama and the Democrats want a normal confirmation battle, they'll have to convince Republican senators that the unprecedented blockade has real costs in November. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View commentaries can be heard hourly weekdays here on Bloomberg Radio. Chris Hupke can be heard for the next few minutes with me here on Bloomberg Radio. He's the chief financial economist at Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi. We were talking about the Fed decision yesterday and the Fed switch in focus to what's going on around the world. Would you say, Chris, given the Fed's forecasts, at least what they laid out in December and barely changed yesterday, that you could, if that were your sole criteria, justify a rate move either yesterday or within the next couple of meetings?
Yeah, that was interesting when they tried to, at the press conference, they tried to nail her down on just, you know, why are you going just 2 rate hikes this year now instead of 4 back in December? And as you point out, she said one thing was the world economic outlook and the other thing was credit market spreads. But, it wasn't very satisfactory, her explanation of why the change. I mean, if you look at the world economic growth outlook, the IMF only lowered GDP for the world in 2016 by 0.2 in January versus October last year. It went down from 3.6 to 3.4. I mean, that's, you know, the wheels aren't coming off the bus here. She said there could also even be, ironically, in the in the questioning, she said there could be an upgrade to world economic growth given the stimulus from China and the Bank of Japan. So
my pickup on this is really, really important.
Yeah.
There's a distinction between gloom and doom, and we're going down. And, Chris, you have fought that mightily throughout the crisis. And a stasis, Mike, of what would you say, Mike McKee, 2% run rate, 1.8% run rate, 2.2 run rate. And, Chris, the policy decision that that run rate is unacceptable. Is that where we are?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if, you know, for the longest time, the Fed said they needed to be assured, in order to be assured that the labor market would improve, they wanted 3% GDP growth. Now they've come down to, at least she's come down to saying now that 2% GDP is strong enough and, the economy is at full employment. I don't know. It's their caution and the uncertainty and the risks they point to. I don't know. I mean, when you look at the other central banks, certainly they all talk to one another. I mean,
but they also
every central bank, many of these countries that are still stimulating their economies, Japan and the UK, the unemployment rate has come down to very low levels. All those job losses from the global recession in 2009, they've evaporated, and yet they haven't normalized rates. So it's not just us. Japan is still going, pushing their economy, and so is UK.
What's the quality of inflation now, and does it impute into a higher wage growth?
Well, that's the we can't really answer that. I had a couple of stories on wages. I mean, the crazy thing is that wages are going, 2% now? They're only going to go 4% looking over the past 20, 25 years. I mean, is the public going to be satisfied with a 4% wage rate if we ever get there? I don't think so. It sounds to me as if the electorate's a little bit unhappy generally. But I think you can say from this point forward, all economics can tell you is that once the unemployment rate dips down below 5%, that wages should pick up. Oh, and you have to wait for it. You know, it could be 18 months, 2 years from now. But this is the period over the next 2 years we should be looking for more wages.
Well, Janet Yellen seemed yesterday to dismiss the idea that the inflation we've seen, in, at least in the CPI yesterday and for the previous 2 months, it means anything.
I was shocked at that. Right. I mean, they say they're data dependent. If you're not, it's one thing to ignore CPI inflation because if they want to be lawyers, they technically look at PCE inflation. Then you get the core PCE inflation going to 1.7, and she's not sure it's going to stick there.
See, this
like,
is great. This
whoa,
is,
how
this,
dismal
this is,
can you be?
Mike, this is like Dr. Phil, except it's Dr. Mike, therapy for Chris Rupke.
Yeah.
Chris is so upset.
I'll send him
a message. I want to talk it out. I need a comforting voice. I don't understand. I've lost touch with what this federal
may I officially state that the intraday chart of the two-year yield, folks, has gone round trip. For those of you who have pulled over to the side of the road worldwide and nationwide, Mike, please explain why the two-year yield has gone round trip. We've gone 9 basis points, lower yield, and spiked up higher yield.
I don't want to go all Chris Rupke on you, but I really don't know.
Didn't say I didn't know.
Well, clearly they're making bets on where the Fed funds rate is, or whatever they're using these days, is going to end up. But yeah.
High-frequency trading, that's what we should blame it on.
Well, there's a lot of that going around as well. Do the markets tell you anything about what's going on, or is everything broken there? So that's not a good clue either.
Yeah, I really do think, again, not to beat a dead horse on this. Yeah, I think the markets are very dysfunctional here, and it's basically due to all this enormous corporate bond issuance we see. You know, part of it, you know, we used to think, you know, get rates down so companies will borrow more and do more CapEx. Now they're just doing these bond issues to buy back shares due to these equity buybacks. So, I think the market's a little bit dysfunctional here. But you're right, the yield curve's flattening. Why would the yield curve be flattening here unless they're looking for Fed tightening?
No, Chris Rupke, We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much. Okay. The Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi, just brilliant, is we provide therapy to all this morning. We need to do a shout-out. My greeting, good teams from HSBC and Scotiabank this morning as they come to visit Bloomberg and visit Bloomberg surveillance. Particularly shout-out to HSBC. Steve Major was just brilliant.
Yes, he
this
was.
Morning.
He was very good.
Providing forward nuance on a structural, almost a Gary Schilling-like call for low rates, which was a bombshell 18 months ago, 12 months ago maybe, and now really providing some new nuance to it as central bankers adapt and adjust. Great to see HSBC and from Toronto, Scotia Bank in as well. They gave us some brilliant work about a month
Steve
ago.
Steve Ratner and I were talking about Canada. Of course, we've got the interview with Justin Trudeau coming up in just a few moments here on Bloomberg Radio. But given what Caroline Hyde was saying about how worried people are in England about Brexit.
Yeah, that was great.
How worried people are in the United States about Trump presidency, Toronto could get very crowded if all the people who are threatening to move to Canada over one thing or another do so. It could be hard to find a place to live.
We say good morning to Dennis Gartman, unsure which golf course he's on this morning. Dennis Gartman making news 3 or 4 weeks ago here on surveillance. Gartman announcing he would not move to Canada. That was important news.
I have a surprise for Dennis. There's a snowstorm coming this weekend on the East Coast. So
really?
He best go south.
I did not know that.
Yeah, very
really?
Few people do. Tracy Alloway just, cluing me. I saw this last night, and she's all over it. She's our weather geek around here, too.
So very good. Well, if it's important.
Sunday into Monday.
If it's important, we
Boston
will, of course, get
in trouble.
Well, we'll get coverage for Bloomberg 1200 Boston. Rob Carolyn giving us weather perspective. Perhaps we'll see that Friday and on into Monday. Right now, Justin Trudeau next. Bloomberg surveillance.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.